This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me again to a book of 2 Samuel. When we come to 2 Samuel, we started at chapter 22 on Sunday afternoon, and this is a song of David. And we got through the first three verses where David is praising and exalting the Lord for who He is. One of the things that David does is when David has an issue and a problem in his life, he goes to the Lord. And he takes these things to the Lord. David is, most Bible scholars don't know exactly when this song was written. It comes at the end of 2 Samuel. But there's some other things that are written here. It's as if the author of 2 Samuel included some things that had happened in David's life, and the end isn't exactly in chronological order. So this may have occurred earlier in his life, at the time when Saul was actually pursuing David, attempting to kill him, or it may be David even reflecting back on that, as well as his other enemies, the Philistines and others, who have come against him. But this evening I'd like to begin at verse 4. As David calls out upon the Lord, and he calls out because of his enemies and what God is going to do and how that the Lord is greater than his enemies. One of the things that we need to remember in our lives is we can be overwhelmed with what's happening in the world. For example, what's happening to President Trump right now with this sham trial. And we can say, well, if they could do that to him, how much more could they do to me? Or we look around and we see people being persecuted around the world for their faith. We're praying for individuals in Middle East, Christians who are being persecuted for their faith. And we say, if persecution comes, how can I stand against it? Well, if you look at David as he looks back over his life and as he comes before the Lord, he realizes that his enemies at often times were greater than he was, and he didn't have the ability to stand in his own strength to fight them. But guess what? God is greater than our enemies. And God is greater than those who would harm us. And God is there to be with us at all times. And this is what David is remembering as he comes to the Lord this evening. Verse 4, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. In other words, David's not going to be saved through his own strength, but he's only going to be saved from his enemies by the power of God. David couldn't have fled from Saul and avoided Saul's persecution, but for the Lord and His grace and His ability to do that. And so he goes on and he says in verse 5, when the waves of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me. Now, sometimes we think, Lord, sometimes I get afraid of even doing anything for you. Sometimes it's as if I see the wickedness around me and I go, what can I do? We were listening to one of the radio programs this evening as we were coming in and getting ready to come to church tonight, and the host of the show was saying, people need to call in and say, what can we do? What can we do? And his whole point was, well, what can we do? And you look at the southern border, people are pouring across there. What can we do? We can't go down there and stop them. We can't. But David at times felt like that. When his enemies would compass about him, when he felt like he was going to die because of all those around him, and the question was, what can I do? And should I be overcome with fear? And what he's saying is, when we look at the situations in life where Satan would come against us, and it's really Satan behind those that would seek to stop God's people from honoring the Lord and living Christian lives and come against them, what we can do is oftentimes we'll be frozen by fear. I remember there's a goat, and this goat has a genetic problem, and whenever it gets afraid, it just freezes, and falls over. And so people who have sheep herds will put one of these goats out with their sheep so that when the wolves or the coyotes come and try to attack their sheep, this goat will get afraid and won't be able to move and fall over, and they'll go after the goat and the sheep can escape. Well, we're not called to be that type of a goat, to just fear so that we can't respond and move. But the problem is, sometimes we do. And if this was the case with David, how much more is it with me at times? And so I need to say, Lord, what do I need to do? Well, he was prevented by the fears that came upon him. And he says, in my distress, what did he do? I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear. Hear my voice out of the temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. I want you to know that the Lord said that we are to come before his throne boldly. That means boldly with our praises, boldly with our thanksgiving, but also boldly with our fears. David cried upon the Lord when he was at the point where he couldn't move and respond. What do? I'll call on God. And I'll call on God because he is the one that is my deliverer. Verse 8. What was God's response to David's cry? Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of the heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. God is not pleased with the wickedness of men. And he will deal with it. And we can go to the book of Revelation and see that during the Great Tribulation, these types of things are going to happen as God's wrath comes upon man because of their wickedness. And he's called his church, he's raptured his church, and those that are left on the earth, the vast majority of them don't believe in God, aren't looking to God, and are cursing God. What's amazing, when during the Great Tribulation, you have two types of people. The one people are going to see who God is, and they will repent, although it's going to be the vast majority. And the minute they do, the Antichrist is going to seek them out and have them killed. And they'll be the martyrs that are recorded in the book of Revelation. They'll be martyred for their faith during the Great Tribulation. But it says the vast majority of the people, when God pours out his wrath on the earth, they'll shake their fist at God and curse God instead of seeing that the wrath he is pouring upon them is because of their sin. Instead of crying out for mercy and repenting, they will curse God. And it says that they will call for the mountains and the rocks to fall upon them instead of crying out for God's mercy. See, that's the difference between David and between the unbeliever who's unrepentant. That is why David was a man after God's own heart who sought the Lord in the midst of his trials, knowing that God is the greater one than any other force in the world, because he is the one who has created all things, sustains all things, shall judge all things, and he is worthy of our prayers and our praise. He says, verse 9, there went up a smoke out of his nostrils and a fire out of his mouth, devoured the coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions around about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Now, it's given a picture of judgment. We were talking earlier, all the storms that are going on in the United States right now. The other day when we were having storms, we were out looking at the clouds, and remarking how that these clouds, they were so dark, and you could see that the storms, and we had really some heavy rains that came in. Those same type of clouds, except they contained tornadoes, were down further south of here. And some of those tornadoes came, and the clouds were dark, and the people, all of the things that he's describing here were occurring. And as was shared during the prayer time, we need to look and call, is this part of God's judgment on America for all of the wickedness that we've done? And all the things that we have, you know, murdering our children, mocking the Lord, taking that which is most sacred to Him, marriage, and making a mockery of it. Taking that which He created in His image, man and woman, and trying to destroy them and create them in man's image. And destroy what God has said is good. And doing all of that, and then on top of that, turning against Israel. And all the things that we have done. Our government right now is taking steps to try to undermine the government of Israel, the duly elected government of Israel, and get them out of the way so that they can get people who would allow Hamas to come in and make, part the land and do all the things that the wicked leadership of our government wants to do. And then we don't think that God will be angry with us as a nation. And you look at what's happening in all these tornadoes, and literally whole communities being destroyed by them. And this is a description of some of this, that very thing happening as God's wrath is poured out upon men for their sin. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered His voice. And He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and discomforted them. And the channels of the sea appeared, and the foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of His nostrils. God will rebuke evil and sin. He sent from above, He took me, He drew me out of many waters. Now, David is talking about waters. Was he literally drowning in waters? No, there's all kinds of waters that we can experience. We sing that one hymn, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. There are various trials that we can experience in our life, and sometimes it feels like we're drowning is we're being overwhelmed and overcome with the situations that are around us. And David's saying, that's where I was. And it's as if God plucked me out of the water, took me out of my situation, and helped me understand who's in charge, who's in control, who is my deliverer, who is the one into whom I'm to place trust. And he goes on and he says here, He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. Now, who had he delivered David from? Well, he delivered him from Saul. He delivered him from the Philistines. He delivered him even from himself. But what does he mean by his enemy that was too strong for me? Well, I believe David is talking about the one who is behind all the enemies of God's people, and that is Satan. The scriptures tell us that we are no match for Satan. No man can stand against the evil of the evil one in our own strength. If you stop and think, Satan has existed in longer than any human. He's got greater intelligence than any human. If you look at power, he's got greater power than any human. So how can we stand against him? Well, there's a lot of people that do. I remember when we were down meeting on NP Avenue in the Mission Front, we had some street people come in, and this one young man came in, and he had been at missions on the reservation, and he'd heard the book of Revelation preached about how that the Antichrist was going to come, and he would be empowered by Satan, and he'd be Satan's man, And this guy said, oh, he's not going to take me. Of course, this was when he was also been drinking too much. But he was sitting there, he's not going to take me. I'll stand against him. He's not going to, I can beat him. I can beat the devil. And I go, well, it's proof right now that you can't. Because you've allowed alcohol to overtake you, and you don't even realize who you're speaking against. David understood it. David, who was much smarter than me, David, who was a better fighter than I am, David, who led armies, David, who defeated enemies, says, I cannot stand against him, but the Lord will. And we need to remember that we can't stand against Satan. We can't even stand against our own enemies. Sometimes what happens is we do not have the wisdom to answer them. We don't have the understanding to see what they're doing to us. But God can give us the wisdom, give us the understanding, and He will be there to defend us and give us the strength to stand. The Apostle Paul, again, as I mentioned on Sunday in Ephesians 6, says that we're to stand, but that we're to stand in the power of Jesus. Not in our own strength. We're to stand as we have the armor of God on us, and that armor is placed there by the Lord and His Spirit, and it's not placed there by us. I can't place righteousness on me. I can't hold it all together with truth. I can't put the helmet of salvation on my head. I can't put the gospel the shoes of the gospel of peace on my feet, or hold the shield of faith, or take the sword of the truth of God's Spirit. I can't do any of that. It's all God in me and doing it for me. And that's what we need to understand. And that's what David is saying here, that he can't stand him against him because he's too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. Now, what does it mean, the Lord was my stay? We sang a song tonight, and the chorus said, trusting Jesus, trusting Jesus. When I learned that song, it was stayed upon Jesus, was the word that was in the hymnal that I learned. They changed it to trusting in Jesus. Stayed means that I am placed in Him and He is my strength, and I am stayed or placed. He's around me. He's there. He is there to hold me. And I'm stayed in His strength. I'm trusting in Him. And so David says, He is my stay. He is the one who holds me, the one who gives me strength. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. Now this is an amazing statement. You stop and think about it. The Lord says that He delighted in you, just as He delighted in David. He created you for a reason and a purpose. He redeemed you and called you out of darkness into light. And that whole purpose that He created you and redeemed you and has given you a new heart and mind and made you a new creature is that you may bring glory to His name and you may be exalting Him with your life. You know, you stop and think about, you hear about people that have gotten saved and how that their life is totally transformed and how that it touches other people, and people that used to know them before they became Christians just are amazed at the difference in their lives. It was mentioned about these three men that Barb was mentioning about that had gotten saved that were terrorists. I think she's probably referring to the videos that we had a few years ago where they gave their testimonies. And one of them was a high up in Hezbollah. As a matter of fact, he's one of the leaders of it. And God saved him. And the amazing thing is, when he got saved, he went home. And after he'd been home for a few days, his wife made the comment, "What happened to you?" Because he was afraid to tell her he got saved because to tell a fellow Muslim, and she was a Muslim and he'd been a Muslim, that you got saved and believed in Jesus and you were transformed by His power and you were a new creature in Christ, that could be resulting in your death. Even if you were telling your wife. Because she could go out and get the other people that she knew and say, you got to come and deal with my husband because he says he's a Christian. But she said, there's something different about you. Well, if you can imagine, if you look at the way a Muslim treats his wife, she's treated like cattle or property, or she's not treated like a human. She's not given the same level of honor that a fellow man would be given, because she's beneath a man and she's there to serve her husband. Just the opposite of what the scriptures say. That it says there that a husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Well, how did Christ love the church? Well, He was willing to lay down His life for the church. He was willing to preserve us and to help us to mature and grow into the people we needed to be. He was there to do everything He could to see that we would be all that we could possibly be to honor and glorify Him. And so we see that that's the example that we're given of how we're to treat our wives. So all of a sudden, he read the scripture and he began to treat his wife that way. And she saw the difference. She ended up becoming a Christian too. Didn't happen immediately, but it happened. And I want you to understand that David is saying this thing, that He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. And the Lord delights in His people. He delights in His creation, and He delights in those that He redeems. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. I want you to understand this. What is this talking about, what our behavior should be as Christians? Because one of the things that grieves me is you look at the church today and this isn't taught. David says, I delight in the ways of the Lord and I don't want to depart from my God. But yet you see people in the church today that it's like they're preaching about a different Jesus and a different gospel and a different God, and I can do whatever I want to do and there's no consequences to it and I don't have to feel any guilt because I have liberty in Christ. No. David said, I have this relationship with God. And I just value this so much that I would never violate His character. And so he says that the Lord honors that faithfulness and that trust. And for all His judgments were before me, and as for His statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before Him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Now, I thought that's an interesting statement. I've kept myself from mine iniquity. Each one of us has areas that we need to work on as far as walking in holiness before the Lord. Well, how do we do that? Well, only with the power of God, calling on the name of the Lord when we're tempted, asking Him to deliver us out of temptation, that He wouldn't make the temptation more than that which we could resist, seeking to walk in God's strength and power. And David says here, He has delivered me not from your sin. He hasn't delivered me from what's going on in the world, but He's delivered me from what? My temptation, my sin. That's what God does for us. Gives us the strength to overcome our sin, that we can walk in fellowship with Him. Therefore, the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanliness in His eyesight. Why did He do that? Because He delivered us from our sin. So now we are righteous in His eyes. David isn't saying, I've done this all in my own strength, only saying, God delivered me. And now I can walk before Him in righteousness. Jesus has delivered us. He has become the propitiation for our sin. That is, He's become the one who is our covering, the one who has taken upon Himself our sin, that we in turn may experience His righteousness, that God can see us and see only that which is righteous and holy, not that which is sinful and wicked. And so we need to honor and thank the Lord for what He's done, just as David had. We're going to stop here for tonight because we're running out of time. But the thing is, if you look at what David started, he started by saying, my enemies are all around me. They're overcoming me. What am I going to do? I'm frozen. I'm so helpless. And he turns to a call in the name of the Lord. And the minute he turns to the Lord, what does he do? His focus isn't off his enemies. His focus is on God and all that God has done for him. May that be the way that we begin to lead our lives as David led his. That we may be called a man or a woman who seeks after God's own heart. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us understand from the Song of David the great working that you did in his life and in ours, and the process that you brought him through and that you're bringing us through. And may we look to you, and may you be honored as the one who delivers us from our sin. Be with us now and help us to walk in your strength in the rest of this week and in the weeks ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn to 556.